here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's Investment Research, joined, as always, by one of my colleagues, one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, January 25th. It's really cold here
in
Chicago.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Got that right.
kind of thought we would skate by it this winter, but we were incredibly wrong.
No.
We are here to recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world. Not to really sound like a broken record, but the partial government shutdown continues to rage on. An actual policy to reopen all federal offices made way for verbal spats between our two favorite policy figureheads, President Trump and Speaker Pelosi, over the State of the Union address.
And while Trump played Will I, Won't I with the address, he eventually landed on I won't, by the way, until the government shutdown ends, at least. Wall Street was busy trying to figure out just what to make of the latest economic data seeping out of the world's most important economies, especially with that dang Davos conference
going on
over there in Switzerland.
Okay, so I'm rewatching Game of Thrones, like I've told you.
So this is throwing a little wrench here, confused as to why everybody's talking about
Davos, the Onion Knight.
Yeah, why is everyone watching Game of Thrones right now? Yeah.
And I kind of had forgotten he was nicknamed the Onion Knight until I'm like in the beginning.
This is why we rewatch.
Exactly. I'm picking up on all sorts of things and I'm laughing out loud, the political humor, the collusion, the corruption. It's very relevant, guys. But, you know, just as we've seen recently, kind of getting back on track here, I would love to talk about Game of Thrones all the time, but we can't. It was mixed data telling conflicting stories about global economies. So, for instance, we started the week with China's announcement that its economy grew at the slowest pace in nearly 30 years last year, back in 2018. And this underscored fears of a slowdown in economic growth everywhere.
But then on Thursday, we learned that initial jobless claims in the U.S. last week fell below 200,000, reaching their lowest level in 49 years. While fears of a global economic slowdown feel fair, it also seems fair to say that the U.S. labor market, at the very least, remains strong.
So these reports and this back and forth about what data matters and what data doesn't came during a very busy week for earnings reports. Yes. It's earnings season. We're getting right into the thick of it. So let's now dive deeper into some key industries, including one that might have something to say about the government shutdown.
Yes, just a teensy tiny little thing to say about the shutdown, and we'll get to it in a second. But first, let's recap the earnings results. We'll start with, this is the airline stocks. I forgot to make the segue into an actual intro. This is airlines.
Okay.
We got a lot of airlines reports this week. We're going to start with American Airlines, which beat estimates by 2 cents, recording earnings of $1.04 per share. Revenue lagged slightly at $10.9 billion, but outlook-wise, American is feeling relatively confident. The company now expects revenue to grow faster than its rivals in 2019, saying that it's going to expand its network and offer some new premium initiatives and services that it thinks will add to sales growth this year. We also had discount airliners coming in. JetBlue, for example, beat Zach's consensus estimates on earnings. Revenue basically in line with projections, but the company did say that it did control non-fuel cost spending quite well. That's important for a company like JetBlue. Fuel is going to be something that fluctuates for every airline company. But when you talk about these companies that are specifically known for their low-priced tickets, mm-hmm. the key is to control the spending that you can control, and that's the new non-fuel cost spending. So it had that to thank for its solid earnings results, and it's hoping to keep increasing top-line figures by expanding capacity this year. For Q1 2019, JetBlue said capacity is expected to be up 2.5 or 7.5 to 9.5%. And then we had Southwest, which also had a pretty solid report. Adjusted earnings of $1.17 per share came in well ahead of the Zacks consensus estimate, about 11 cents higher there. Revenue was $5.7 billion. That was also above estimates and marked growth of 8.5% year over year. Unit costs were up 1.5% on slightly higher fuel prices, which is interesting because all we talked about really in Q4 was oil's coming crashing down, but that's because it had run up so much a little bit. So actually comparably, average fuel per gallon for Southwest was slightly higher this year. I think that that metric holds up for many of the airline companies, if not all of them. But here is the shutdown part of it, because Southwest joined its industry rival Delta, which said the same thing last week, mentioned that the partial government shutdown had cost between $10 million and $15 million in potential revenue so far. So obviously that's just a drop in the pot for a company that's bringing in $5.7 billion in revenue a quarter. But it's interesting to note that these companies are starting to notice these things. Why would an airline possibly notice this? Well, airlines need government approval to fly new planes and to fly new routes. So the trimming back of the government services has made this impossible. I guess, you know, there's no one inspecting the food, or there's less people inspecting the food. There's less people inspecting the planes as well. So this is costing these airlines some new business, starting to become a bit of a theme in the industry. And while we're talking about this business, I also wanted to note that air traffic controllers are being affected by the partial shutdown as well. A necessary job, certainly. You wouldn't want the entire U.S. Flight system to come to a screeching halt. So these air traffic controllers, many of them are at work, not getting paid. So working and not getting paid, the double whammy. So I just thought that was interesting, because I was starting to read some things about how inevitably this will come, this will grow to frustration that affects the quality of the work that you're doing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, these people are human. So interesting to see that while Wall Street has not priced in really any of this shutdown in into stocks at all, and seems rather unbothered by it, we're at least seeing one industry that's saying, well, we have noticed it a little bit.
And it's more than just TSA agents.
Right. Yeah. It's the TSA, the lines I've heard are ridiculous. I haven't flown at all during the shutdown.
I haven't either.
I've heard some of the lines have been crazy, and that some airports have had to close certain TSA gates and had to just reroute you to another one. And
yeah,
good luck making a flight. And the air traffic controllers and the people inspecting planes, and it's getting messy for the transportation side of this. So fingers crossed that we get it fixed soon. But I did see on Wednesday, I don't know if it was a Wall Street Journal report or a New York Times report, but that the Trump administration was kind of stress testing and gathering information that would be needed for a shutdown lasting through March. So that's not super encouraging. Two different Senate bills, one Trump-backed, one not, were halted on Thursday. So we'll see if anything happens today. We'll see if anything
March.
Happens
March.
Over the weekend. Yeah, it's January now.
It is January.
And then
January is almost over.
Then there is an albeit short month in between now and March, but a month
February,
nonetheless.
28 days, but March.
So I hope that doesn't happen.
March 15th?
Yeah, I don't know.
March 1st?
Yeah, I don't know. We can't be sure at this point. But anyway.
March 2020?
Feels like it's going to be that long at this point. But anyway, let's push into more earnings reports. And let's do that by looking at the tech stocks. Specifically, let's, Maddie, start with the chip stocks that reported this week.
Yeah. So IBM, International Business Machine, they saw Q4 adjusted earnings of $4.87 per share, and this beat the Zacks consensus estimate of $4.81 per share. Revenue was $21.8 billion, and this also topped our consensus estimate. However, These results were down 5.9% and 3.5% respectively. But the key growth segment for IBM going forward is its strategic imperatives unit. It's a good name for a unit.
It really is.
If I do say so for myself. And this includes cloud, analytics, mobility, and security. This segment grew 5% on a constant currency basis. And the worst performer for IBM this quarter was its systems unit, which saw sales slump 21% year over year, thanks to unfavorable product cycles. But nevertheless, IBM's report was met positively as the company guided higher than existing estimates for 2019 earnings.
Maddie, let me interrupt so I can get you a better segue than the segue I just gave
but
you.
But I will say, so I kind of forgot that IBM, that before you segue.
Yeah.
I forgot that IBM had that huge acquisition last year of Red Hat.
Yes.
So it makes sense that the strategic imperatives unit that includes cloud analytics, mobility, and security is its strongest and probably most important unit going forward, going off that Red Hat acquisition.
Yes. So IBM, a huge player in enterprise technology, cloud computing, information technology, IT services, not a semiconductor manufacturer, but the next one you're going to be talking about is indeed a chip stock. And then I'm going to talk about an even bigger semiconductor manufacturer after that.
I would say a mid to upper chip stock player, if you will.
The pioneer of the personal calculator.
Yes. Oh, I remember my Texas Instruments calculator in high school. So Texas Instruments reported earnings of $1.27 per share. And this did beat the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.24 and improved almost 17% year over year. But revenues were $3.7 billion, down 1% from the year ago quarter, and did come below our consensus estimate. Management's commentary pointed to further demand deterioration.
Say that one three times fast. I'm not going to make it, but
thank you.
If you're practicing along at home.
So demand deterioration, quote unquote, it's not atypical for chip stocks at the moment.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
A potential prolonging of the cycle owing to trade policy. Again, not atypical for chip stocks right now.
Yeah, so it was interesting because the chip stocks prior to Intel's report on Thursday, after the bell Thursday, which I'll get you to the figures in a second, chip stocks had a pretty solid week. Even that Texas Instruments revenue miss and kind of tepid commentary there being overlooked as people were they were ready to spot the bottom in the chip stocks already. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, if that demand starts to pick back up two quarters from now, we should start buying the stocks now. I didn't necessarily see anything in Texas Instruments commentary that said we are for sure two quarters away from the trough, if you will, in the demand cycle. I think the Lam Research also reported this week, they're a big semiconductor equipment maker. They kind of took a better sentiment, maybe a little bit more positive of a we're going to be fine type of situation. But interesting, and then very interesting that Intel then kind of disappointed. So Intel, as I said, filed after the bell Thursday, adjusted earnings of $1.28 per share there, beat estimates of $1.22 and grew comfortably from the $1.08 last year. Intel doesn't miss earnings, hasn't missed earnings in about 5 years.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, so that's not quite the story. Revenue was short though. $18.7 billion in revenue lagged the Zacks consensus estimate of $19.01 billion in revenue. And then guidance was really to the downside. Intel said it expects to post $0.87 in adjusted earnings per share and $16 billion in revenue for the first quarter of fiscal 2019. The Zacks consensus estimate prior to the report was looking for $1.01 in earnings and $17.3 billion in revenue. The other story with Intel is that Intel is still searching for a new CEO. The CEO kind of left relatively hastily at the end of 2018. We'll leave it there on that story. And the interim CEO, Bob Swan, who I believe was the chief of finance before this, kept his commentary relatively short, but didn't really go into, at least in the earnings release itself, didn't quite go into the depth that Texas Instruments management did in terms of talking about the demand cycles. Simply said that looking ahead, we are forecasting another record year and raising the dividend based on our view that the explosive growth of data will drive continued demand for Intel products. So that's a pretty glowing review for Intel right there from its interim CEO. And fair enough, not super great guidance, as I said, in terms of Q1. There are some things that could be affecting earnings there that are Intel specific. The company's ramping up, building out its production facilities in the United States. Presumably that might be to get around some of the trade policy things that the Texas Instrument management was quick to point out. Intel, obviously one of, and kind of ebbs and flows as the number one largest semiconductor manufacturer in the world. Obviously a huge indicator here, and a stock to watch in today's trading session. And with that, we'll get to away from the chips and onto another delicious snack, and that is sweet coffee beverages. And this is another company that reported after the bell Thursday. It is none other than Starbucks.
Yes, Starbucks, SBUX. Pretty good report overall. So sales were much stronger than expected, and at one point the stock was up 3%. Came back down, was back up again. So investors liked it. Earnings was some non-GAAP earnings, I should clarify, 75 cents per share, beat the Zacks consensus estimate by 10 cents. Revenues came in at $6.6 billion, also beat the Zacks consensus estimate, and revenues were up 9% year over year. Q1 comparable sales up 4% globally. And this was thanks to a 3% increase in average ticket price. Maybe that was just from me buying breakfast every morning. I don't, in the month of December, I don't know. China comparable sales, store sales up 1%, and the Americas / United States comparable store sales up 4%. So really, really good numbers there. Really good good performance there. Starbucks Rewards grew to 16.3 million members, and this was also up 14% year over year. And the company returned $5.5 billion, clearly cannot read my notes, to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases. What else? Oh, one thing to note is that the company did narrow its outlook for fiscal 2019. And now expect same-store sales growth to be between 3 to 4% globally. So overall, good report.
Good report from Starbucks. Everybody buying those damn witches brew coffees at the end of October.
I think more of like a contained, if you will, holiday drink menu helped the company.
Well, I was certainly drinking plenty of holiday drinks over the winter period at Starbucks. Got one conveniently located in my house. Been going there more frequently recently. And it's all been well and dandy. So a good report from Starbucks, which is, you know, past its growth stages and now kind of this another key kind of economic indicator. Are people buying the coffee and where are they buying it? Mm-hmm. Good reads for Starbucks. We'll keep an eye on that one also in today's session, as Maddie mentioned, kind of whipsawing and after-hours trading right directly after the report was released. One to watch, as always, SBUX too, which is a great, great ticker.
I mean, that's what I call it. Oh, are you going to S-Bucks today? Yes.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us this week, though. Shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you want us to cover a different story or if you thought we missed anything this week. Busy week next week, of course, with even more earnings reports. A lot of big tech companies coming in next week. We'll be right here covering them. If you want us to cover something specifically, you got that email for you. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And thanks again for joining us. We will see you next week on Zach's Friday Finish Line.